This is Mythical.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
We may never know which came first, but we can all agree that both are delicious. Therefore, the real question we should be asking is, which was eaten first, chicken or eggs? This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
I'm your host, Nicole Hendy-Zadeh.
And today, we are discussing which was eaten first, the chicken or eggs. Nicole, this was your idea.
This was my idea.
A little insight into the creative process. Me, Nicole, Ryan, and Trevor, we all sit down, we go, hey, what kind of podcast do you want to do? And Nicole goes, chicken or egg? And we go, what do you mean? And she goes, yeah, which was eaten first? So Nicole, I'm going to let you take the opening statement on this one.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say eggs. Because science says that eggs were eaten first. We both did a little research. We dug a little deep and we saw that eggs were actually eaten first. So the podcast is over. Let's go.
Okay. I know what you're referring to. So if you look to the actual like archaeological, anthropological history, mm-hmm. it says that eggs were most likely domesticated from chickens in India in like 3200 BC. And then also chickens were likely not eaten as food on a large scale until actually it was very cool. About 5 years ago, archaeologists in Israel found evidence that dated it back to about 400 BC. So it would appear...
They're close. Yeah.
They're close, but still 3,000 years away. Like, yeah. There was a longer time between people supposedly on a mass scale, I must add as a caveat.
Yes, mass scale.
Eating eggs and chickens as there was from, like, Jesus to now. Because that's what... I'm going to bring up scripture a lot, to be fair.
Are you going to quote the Bible on this?
I'm going to quote the Bible a lot.
How many quotes do you have on your laptop?
I only have two. I got one Old Testament and another Old Testament.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
It gets into some weird stuff.
So there's no New Testament stuff?
No New Testament stuff. This is the book of our people.
Okay,
Nicole.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is like dating from Genesis. But no, I believe that chickens were eaten first, despite a mountain of evidence against me from the entire archaeological historical community.
So we're not going off of, like, let's just say, the cultivation of these things in order for them to be eaten on a mass scale. Mm-hmm. You're just thinking, what guy went into the coop, looked at an egg, looked at a chicken, and said, I'm going to eat one of those.
Yeah, I ain't even talking about coop. I'm talking predating coop. I'm talking dude walking in the jungle. You know, sees this weird little, like, a half raptor dinosaur creature.
Yeah.
And goes, like, I'ma eat its flesh.
Or said, I'ma eat the round thing that came out of its poop hole.
Okay, well let's dissect that then, because I think that's the argument here. Again, going against the grain of all let's just call them facts. Is this a fact-based podcast? No, not even a little bit.
This is the opposite. This is an impassioned philosophical debate between two people who love food and just love to make each other cringe and laugh.
Yeah.
This is what this whole podcast is about. Facts, leave them at the door.
Yeah, at some point last week I said if you cut open someone's stomach after eating a hot dog, you could, in theory, boil parts of their intestines to become a hot dog. That's not true at all.
See?
Yeah, that's...
You say that now?
Yeah,
after
I mean
the fact?
No, like intestinal casing in hot dogs is so much different than just a whole human intestine. What a wild thing. But that was last week, and now this is this week, and we're saying new, completely nonsensical things.
Yes, exactly.
So what I'm thinking, if you're looking at this on like a personal level, if you are faced, let's examine this in a vacuum, right? That's like a common tactic for philosophical arguments. Examine this in a vacuum without any sort of, you know, cultural norms that are imposed on you, any sense of history, just pure instinct. And you see animal flesh versus weird, gooey, translucent, yellow thing encased in a hard shell. What looks more inviting to you to eat? And keep in mind, there's like precedent for flesh being eaten that you can see openly, right? Like humans have been eating animal flesh and cooking it over fire to avoid disease for thousands of years. And
it's what made us human.
It's what made us human. It's what separated us from animals. But also we see animals, you know, killing each other and eating flesh for food. So there's precedent for that. Sure, they're egg-eating animals. We call them ovoraptors. Mm-hmm. That was a word I pulled out of nowhere.
Isn't it ovotarians?
Ovo-vegetarians are people who only eat eggs and no meat. But ovoraptor is a term for an animal that primarily eats eggs.
Isn't that a basketball team?
Yeah, yeah, the Toronto Ovo Raptors. Yeah, they're the defending champs. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, you got a Kawhi omelet leading the charge. But no, what I'm saying is, in a vacuum, if you are faced with the choice of animal flesh or this just like completely gross looking gooey mess inside of a thing that came out of a poop chute, you're gonna go for flesh first. So I believe there was one person just like walking in the jungle, sees this little idiot chicken walking around, just like. And that person was just like, I'm going to cut off its head and eat its flesh.
No, I would. Well, in a vacuum. Is this personal or is this vacuum Nicole? Is this
is vacuum Nicole.
Vacuum Nicole?
Break yourself down to vacuum Nicole's instincts. You have, you know, you're not getting your eyebrows done. You don't have your makeup. I know you.
He noticed. He noticed I did my eyebrows. That's huge.
I have said in the past that I don't like to compliment any coworkers. Because for me, if I'm like, Nicole, your eyebrows look good today. Then you're like, what? My eyebrows look like crap.
That's not how I process compliments, Josh. I don't think like, oh my God, he thought it was ugly before. That's not true at all. Everything you say just adds to my egotism. It never brings me down. Feeds my narcissistic tendencies.
Yeah, you called me a creative genius the other day, and I was like,
big mistake.
Literally felt like I had won the Miss Congeniality pageant. I felt like Sandra Bullock.
The one time I'm like, Josh is like really talented and really creative. I don't know what I'm going to do when he's not here. And now his head is the size of Jupiter.
Oh,
is what I'm trying to say. But sorry, vacuum Nicole. Okay. So is it a living chicken or is it a dead chicken?
Living chicken. You must slaughter it.
I must slaughter it myself. And the egg is in the egg.
Yes, but you have an angry chicken guarding it.
Oh.
And keep in mind, okay, so I have this problem where I don't understand historical context. Like, I think anything before, like, the Renaissance, people were just kind of wearing rags, running around, slaughtering small birds and barking at each other. And I know society has existed for tens of thousands of years and humans for, I don't know, maybe millions. Again.
Have humans been alive for millions of years? No, Ryan said no, he's typing.
Not a million. If I had a guess, 75,000. Neanderthals, 75,000 years ago. What's the number? What's the real number? Someone, idiot check us because we need that.
We need idiot checking. We need live idiot checks.
Which is great that we're the ones having these discussions. I love how like we, to open the podcast, we're like, okay, so real historians and archaeologists have already settled this. Well, let's get our completely uninformed opinions.
Yeah, let's get Vacuum Josh and Vacuum Nicole to really duke it out. Apparently, Josh, 200K
years. 200,000
years.
That's a lot of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay, I don't know because I feel like, you know, adding to historical stuff, for sure, there's a lot more imagery of eggs like being used in like sacrificial things and stuff like that, more so than chickens, according to the ancient Egyptians.
No, there were. And like I said, chickens weren't even thought of as food on a large scale. I must say, because I lose the argument if I don't say it on a large scale, then it's completely done. They weren't often thought of as food, and they were most likely used for cockfights, which is a thing. But anyone who knows anything about the modern...
What?
Yeah, so this is the thing. Apparently, 10,000 years ago, they think it started in rural China. People would raise chickens mostly for just entertainment. But not for food.
Oh my gosh.
Which, I think this actually supports my argument.
Uh-huh.
How did they know it wasn't good eaten?
Do you eat roosters? You don't eat roosters.
Yeah, no, you do. So the way the modern chicken industrial process goes is that, you know, you only can use hens for laying eggs. So only the females, right?
Okay.
And there's one breed of chicken that is good for laying eggs, and there's one breed of chicken that's good for meat. Mm-hmm. Both males and females are used for meat. Oh. So you might be wondering, if you're breeding, you know, laying chickens, what happens to all the males?
Exactly.
They just get literally, as they're born, they're just tossed in a grinder.
No.
And it's called culling is the industrial term. But that's a big thing. But so you see the separation of males and females. And so supposedly back in the day, if all these males are being bred for cockfighting, then there are female hens that are laying eggs and people are likely eating those. Right. So that probably started on a large scale before chickens were eaten on a large scale. But my question is, how did people know chickens weren't good for eating? Another thing I think of is everybody before, let's say, 1750 was just like poor. They're just in rags. You know, I don't like, I assume that everyone scavenged for food constantly.
What about the monarchy, Josh?
There were 6 rich people, and those are the only ones we know about from history. And then everyone else is just a peasant that died at like 15
after
giving birth to 3 children.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, that is the view of history that I have. And I know it's ahistorical in that there were great societies, you know, built. Probably in prehistory as well.
Mesopotamia?
Yeah, Atlantis. They were underwater. I saw the Disney movie.
Josh, Atlantis is not real.
But my point is, someone had to have eaten a chicken and said, yo, this sucks. We should make them fight each other. That had to have happened. How would they know? They needed food.
Also has to do with like the defenseless egg. Like the chicken ain't going to guard the egg forever. The chicken's got to go eat. The chicken's got to go sleep. The chicken's got to go do stuff. Like you can just reach under a chicken and just bloop. Like, remove it. It's not that hard. Also, like, it's not like the roosters are sitting on the eggs, you know? The roosters are out, like, gallivanting. The hens are defenseless.
Yeah, roosters, they're trying to find some chicken play.
Dude, this podcast is going to make me a vegan. I strongly believe it.
Yeah.
It's sickening.
Sorry. If you weren't a vegan after the episode where I talked about disemboweling someone to make a hot dog, it's tough to make this one be vegan. Oh, actually, PETA did, like, one of our recent YouTube videos where we made a vegan Baconator.
Oh, that's nice.
Shout out to PETA. They commented and were like, that rice paper bacon was great. And I just wanted to comment back like, don't watch any of our other videos. Stick to that one.
PETA, if you're listening, which I'm sure you're not, but if anyone sends you this little tidbit, please don't watch anything else we make because we love meat.
I don't think I'm one to really comment on ethics.
Yeah. I don't know why we have this podcast where we debate philosophical, ethical things.
It's funny you bring up stealing eggs from chickens. Because one of the things they actually found out in early egg farming production, which does kind of lend to the point that, you know, eggs are probably eaten on a mass scale first, is that if you just, like, stole an egg from a chicken, the chicken would just be like, oh, that sucks. My baby's gone. Gotta lay another one. And so basically that's how like large scale egg production was born.
Steal the eggs.
You steal the egg and then you trick it into being like, oh, gotta have another kid.
Yeah. Well, we have eaten flesh since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
So in a world where maybe like, yeah, chickens were, you know, taken and cut up and eaten. But I don't think that. I truly think it's eggs. And I would eat an egg before a piece of chicken. Have you seen me? I eat eggs. I eat 2 eggs a day, every single day, for my whole entire life.
I'm a fellow ovophile. Look at me breaking out SAT words that don't exist. Okay, so I really love eggs. There was one day here where for lunch, I think you saw me and watched and discussed where I just ate 5 scrambled eggs and dipped it in ketchup as I ate it with my hands.
It was seven
scrambled eggs. Yeah. It's bulking season. Every season is bulking season, to be fair, when you're afraid of your masculinity being tarnished. But my point is, we love eggs. There are a lot of people who don't love eggs. Number one, Guy Fieri does not love eggs. Number two, my girlfriend Julia, she also does not love eggs.
What?
Those are the only two people that I can name off the top of my head.
Do you hide eggs into things for her to eat?
Like, I don't know, like, she just doesn't like eating a whole egg. Like, I'm someone where if I'm running a little bit low on food, I'll just be like, well, I got eggs, I'll crack an egg on this and it becomes a meal.
So she won't eat, like, a hard-boiled egg?
Yeah, she doesn't like it. Like, we made ramen together the other day, and she doesn't do the hard-boiled egg.
Oh.
Which, like, pains me in my heart a little bit. I still love her very dearly. But to me, that's the best part of the ramen. And I love the kind of, you know...
Fudgy yolk.
Yeah, that fudgy yolk with, like, just the clean, bouncy protein of the white. But I think there's a legitimate reason why people would find eggs disgusting. Because there was an article I read a while ago that was talking about the mayonnaise disgust.
I remember that article.
Yeah,
where it's all about people are disgusted by mayonnaise
because it resembles bodily fluids.
Yes,
and if you think about egg whites, like it certainly resembles a certain bodily fluid, and that's gross as hell. But no, I think there is a legitimate reason to be disgusted by eggs that would influence someone to not eat that.
over bird flesh. No way. I don't agree with that at all. I think eggs are, you know, the building blocks of life. There's proteins. There's fats. It's amazing. It's in its own protective shell. You can do a million things with an egg. You can scramble it. You can poach it. You can... Have you ever roasted an egg before?
I think I did
can
once.
Can you roast an egg?
Yeah, like you can just... Basically hard boil an egg, but like hard roast an egg.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of caramelizes a little bit, or the proteins get browned, I suppose, not caramelized on the outside. And it just tastes a little bit worse than a hard boiled egg.
I don't think I could eat a roasted egg, actually. So scratch that part. But eggs are they're the genesis of life. They're the beginning. The eggs are the start, and they are the first thing you put in your mouth. And that's what humans did too, Josh. I'm sorry. I don't, this vacuum situation did nothing for me. I'm sorry. I have to go with the facts, and I can't think about this in a philosophical sense. It makes sense. Like, oh, humans ate flesh first. Why wouldn't they eat chicken flesh? But they didn't eat chicken flesh first. I do think they ate the egg first. I'm sorry.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Roman centurions used to bring chickens to battlefields because they thought like their behavior would predict war. These are all things that I had no idea. I'm so glad you proposed this topic.
I've heard of that, actually. I've heard of that chicken thing before, where they put them in, like, if the chicken is, like, just sitting there hanging out, like, they're in trouble, right?
Yeah. If the chicken was all, like, lively and searching for food and looking for fights, they were like, oh, it's going to be a good battle, boys.
Yeah, it's not like that. Did you know that my grandma is a very superstitious woman, RIP? Eggs are very important in our culture. So, actually, chickens are, too. I'm going to tell you two stories about how chickens and eggs are important. So my grandma used to take if I was sick, she would take an egg and she would hold it in her hand and she would take a piece of lead, not a pencil, just like a piece of lead, like whatever. And she would make a circle of every single person in my life. And then she would wrap the egg in a piece of plastic and she would press it with even pressure between each name. And she remembered every single name. And then whatever, like, the egg would crack on, that's the person who, like, made me sick, who, like, gave me the evil eye.
What do you do to him after you find out?
You don't do anything. You just know it and you take a broken yolk and you put it in between your palms and also al ruho of your mouth. So that's one story. You want to hear another story? This is a really fun story.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. So one time, my grandma snuck in. This is so embarrassing. One time my grandma snuck in a live chicken to Cedars-Sinai Hospital to sacrifice it for my dad.
I think that's awesome. That's metal.
Yeah. So we literally came in with a live chicken. We don't do this anymore. This was like very, very old school. Like, this is like, I don't agree with this stuff, but this is what my grandma used to do. She came in with a chicken in a box, a live chicken, just going. She walked through the front gate of Cedars-Sinai, walked in, went up to the 7th floor. My dad was there. And we just basically sacrificed a chicken in a hospital.
I love that story. I think it's beautiful. Culture is beautiful, is a thing a white guy would say.
For evil eye. But I don't think it's good to do that stuff. I don't believe in chicken.
What was the cleanup like?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I mean, like, how'd they kill the chicken?
There's a guy.
Oh, yeah, the guy kills the chicken.
There's a special person that comes and sacrifices the chicken.
Yeah, but I mean, like, are they...
It's called kapha rots, Josh. You've never heard of this
I've never
before?
Heard of kapha rots. No, yeah, I was the kind of Jew where, like, we'd eat bagels on Saturday and, like, you know, we'd do matzo ball soup when Hanukkah rolled around.
No, we were witchcraft Jews. We were Jews that dabbled in witchcraft. But, yeah, no, this is a very real thing, and it's actually been a discussion between a lot of, like, Jewish people to, like, not do this anymore because it's not fair to the chickens. And I agree with that 100%, but my grandma was just, like, sneaking them into hospitals and stuff, which is why I believe eggs were first, because they are less cleanup and not as annoying. And there's no blood.
Eggs are eaten before chickens because within your family's rituals,
yeah,
it's less cleanup.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see that argument. I see why there should be no reason to argue against that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for agreeing with me and with history and with science and with witchcraft.
One thing about this is it's all tainted by me just not understanding history. Because if you look back to even a chicken that was raised 100 years ago, have you had an heirloom chicken breed?
Of course.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, a Jadori chicken?
Not Jadori, because I don't even think Jadori is technically a heritage breed chicken, is what they're called. I don't even think Jadori is technically a heritage. I think that's just an example. Jadori, for anyone who doesn't know, they tried to market themselves as the Kobe beef of chickens,
mm-hmm.
but it's really just a kind of clever brand name. So I think
I've never enjoyed it.
No,
a regular chicken.
They started selling it at a grocery store near here, and it's kind of just chicken.
Yeah.
But I've had some heritage breed chickens, and the actual breast on them, even think of a silky chicken.
Yeah.
The breast on it is just a fifth the size of any other chicken.
They're we have silky chickens in the freezer.
There's so little usable meat on them.
Yeah.
And so if I'm, if I'm looking at the big busty chickens walking around now, we breed chickens so breast dominant, which what a weird adjective to apply to anyone. We breed chickens to be so breast dominant that they literally can't walk. Their heads are dragging on the ground.
We've talked about this. We talked about this with the chicken nugget and chicken, what was it? Boneless wings?
The boneless wings one.
Yeah, we've talked about chicken gazongas before.
Yeah, but the chicken gazongas factor into this. Because if you're looking at these skinny little birds back then,
mm-hmm.
they're probably not enticing. You're probably I want to see these two slaughter each other in combat.
Wow.
And also be used for weird oracle reasons by the Roman guard.
You know what would be weird? If they, instead of cockfights, they did snake fights. And then at the ends of the snake's tails, they put little guns on them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think about that. Yeah, I think about what if, we just took, I don't know, two like mongooses. But I don't know, we gave them katanas. can you imagine that little cute mongoose with a big old samurai sword? That'd be great. That's what this podcast has turned into. What two animals do you want to see fight with which weapons? You want to see a capybara with a flail mace? Full little French, knight armor?
French bulldogs with sling blades?
I like your argument about eggs being the building blocks of life.
Yeah.
We, in no other format, is both of our attention deficit disorders more pronounced than this podcast.
I think it was important for us to do this, though.
I think it was, too.
Yeah, we got out a lot of tangents that were deep inside of our brains.
I think so. This is half therapy session, half maybe trying to make entertaining
content. This was really cathartic for me.
Nicole, we have heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling around there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call Opinions are like
Casseroles.
You didn't even try that time. First up, we got at Oh Holy Jolie. Scrambled eggs taste amazing if you add A1 sauce, cheese, and cayenne pepper when preparing. A1 sauce I love because it's ketchup-esque, right? I love A1. I am an unabashed fan of A1. If I'm making a really good steak that I take time to prepare, I'm typically doing, some sort of red winey, mushroomy, shallot-y thing. So I'm not going to A1 it. But if it's a weeknight steak, I will absolutely put A1 on it if it's available. I don't even stock it in my house, but it's something that I should.
I don't touch A1. At all, ever.
That's,
don't like it.
That's one of those gross old sauces.
Yeah, I can't.
It was made before people. Again, we talked about how stupid I am in related to history. But to me, it was back then, people just didn't know what tasted good. And so they were what do we got? Raisins and fish sauce? Yeah, put it on steak.
Yeah, I don't.
And I kind of love
it.
That.
No, I'm not about it.
So I can see it as someone who loves ketchup on eggs. I see A1 sauce on eggs, and I am with you.
Okay. More MCD says corn and chocolate pudding was a childhood favorite of mine. That's great. I wouldn't put it in chocolate pudding, but I might actually enjoy it in vanilla pudding because corn and vanilla is actually a really beautiful combination. So I agree with that, but not with the chocolate part.
I don't know about chocolate. I'm certainly interested in trying it because I love corn desserts.
Me too.
So underrated. So good. One of my favorite desserts is a Vietnamese dessert. And a little precursor, there is one person on Twitter, a person who I believe identifies as Vietnamese, who comments on my pronunciation of Vietnamese words.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on a roll where she was like, you did a great job with bun tit nung. Mm-hmm. I really tried. And then bon seo, she said, I said really weird. So now I'm very self-conscious in calling this dessert jebap. Anyways.
Jebap?
It's like Jia? I don't know, dude. It's spelled like C-H-E-B-A-P, but Vietnamese is a very tonal language, so I don't know how to pronounce it. All I know is that it is absolutely delicious. It is
What's
like
in
this.
It?
It's basically just like a corn custard, but the Jia word that I'm apparently not pronouncing right. It's any sort of like cold kind of custardy thing that's made. It can be made with like beans, with like bananas, with corn, with anything. And it is really fantastic. It's like this whole world of kind of like grain puddings that are eaten for dessert with condensed milk. So I love corn desserts. I'm actually planning on stealing the ice cream maker from work this weekend and making my own corn ice cream because I believe the first corn of the season is in. So I'm into that.
Go for it, man.
All right. At Space Penguin 21, not a roast, but I am going to get a dog. Would you like me to give pats for you? I'm a cat guy.
Give it all the pats. Nicole says all the pats.
You're a dog person?
Oh, I love dogs.
I just never come up.
I hate cats.
Oh, no. I need an animal that can show disdain for me.
Cats
I need
are
to.
Buttholes.
I don't accept unconditional love because me, I'm like, I didn't earn it. I didn't earn the love, dog. Why are you excited to see me? I haven't done anything for you. Whereas cats, they'll ignore you until you can do things for them.
No, I love dogs. Please. Give your, you know what? Also give your dog a little, snoot kiss. I'll give him a little snoot kiss. Okay. Trevor Dodd speak is Cordon Bleu is undervalued and should be respected and needs to be on more menus. I believe you're alluding to chicken Cordon Bleu. I was like, do you mean the defunct culinary school, the Cordon Bleu?
I thought they meant the actor Corbin Bleu.
Oh, you mean, oh, the jump rope dude?
Yeah, from Jump In.
Push it to the limit, because we're in it to win.
Jump In was High School Musical, but instead of basketball, it was boxing. Instead of musicals, it was jump ropes.
So it wasn't a movie about jump ropes?
No, it was a movie about jump ropes, but it was like...
Boxing?
His dad wanted him to be a boxer, but all he wanted to do was like competitive double dutch.
What?
That was a friend. They were like, High School Musical was a success. Dude wants to play basketball, or dude's dad wants him to play basketball, but all he wants to do is musical theater. And they're like, well, let's just repeat this. What are the two next most popular sports and activities? Double dutch and boxing. And that was the movie. Anyways.
This is crazy. Okay, chicken cordon bleu. Let me actually read the textbook. When I say textbook, I mean Wikipedia definition. A cordon bleu is a dish of meat wrapped around cheese, then breaded and pan-fried or deep-fried. Veal or pork cordon bleu is made of veal and pork pounded thin and wrapped around a slice of ham and a slice of cheese, breaded, and then pan-fried or baked. Okay, I love cordon bleu, but like it's just it's outdated, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I don't really agree that we need to bring it back, you know? There are so many other foods that are just waiting to be discovered and put on the plates of America. So, no, I think cordon bleu came, it enjoyed, now it's time for it to go.
Yeah, I don't weep for chicken cordon bleu.
No.
Also, the idea of stuffing meats, whereas, okay, so we talked about this idea where if you eat berries, it just becomes a smoothie in your mouth.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of how I feel about the layering of certain foods. Like,
yeah.
I don't enjoy eating, say, cupcakes, for example, because I'd much prefer a layer cake.
Hmm.
I think that is the way to get the proper amount of like icing and cake in your mouth. I don't dig on cupcakes. There's always too much frosting on them and you can never quite get your mouth around a full satisfying bite.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel about chicken cordon bleu. Like, I love the flavor combination of cheese and ham and chicken. I just don't need it to be stuffed inside of one another.
Yeah, totally. I think there's actually reiterations of cordon bleu that are yet to be discovered.
Like Sizzler's Malibu chicken.
Ooh.
They don't have the labor capacity to, well, I think Sizzler is now bankrupt. at least all the ones around here closed. Oh, RIP Sizzler and all buffets. But yeah, they just like stack ham and cheese on chicken and it's great. All right. At Gid Kid, strawberries dipped in sour cream and then in brown sugar is one of the best fruit desserts.
This sounds like right up my alley.
Mm-hmm.
This is like one of those things you binge eat at like 3 a.m. where it's like, these are the three things I have in my cupboard.
Yeah. I've been really into like simple fruit desserts during quarantine. Well, I've been into all desserts during quarantining times because, you know, you get the sads and you want to eat sweet stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so like just little things like sprinkling, you know, cinnamon and sugar on pineapple,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. So yeah, dude, like sour cream, strawberries, brown sugar, those are all good things. Mm. I want it in my mouth.
I'm going to try this. I don't know how to say this, but I'm going to try my best. La Gringuita de Cheo says, yogurt is better salty than sweet. Yes. I love yogurt so much. Like, Americans don't eat enough yogurt. Like, not that, like, vanilla, like, Yoplait stuff. Like, just pure, unadulterated, like, yogurt. Like, just start eating yogurt, ladies and gents. It's so good for you. The probiotics, insane. The flavor, delicious. Have you ever had chips with yogurt?
I know you have. because every time we have like a 5 minute break in the office, I turn around, Nicole has a bowl of yogurt and she's shaking a whole bag of chips into the bowl of yogurt, which I respect.
Yo, man, it's the best snack that no one's ever heard of. It's delicious.
It's funny growing up with like the most basic of kind of white American palates and tastes where I just thought all yogurt was like Go-Gurt. Yeah. Not even Go-Gurt though, because I had the imitation Go-Gurt growing up. So it was like purple Fogurt fun, you know? So I never knew like how beautiful yogurt could be. And then you start getting into like Lebne and, you know, all these just beautiful like Bulgarian yogurt. Bulgarian mountain yogurt. We've had the same exact brand. It's almost like fizzy with how tart it is.
Oh, I love it.
Oh yeah. Savor yogurt dishes all the way. Sometimes I'll just like make a stew and just scoop some yogurt into it and slurp down my yogurt stew.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Lovely. What's the, I believe it's a Lebanese dish that's like kofta or kefte.
Yeah.
That's like stewed in yogurt.
You can make kofta like that.
I don't figure out. Oh, that's great. Yeah, stew your meatballs in yogurt.
Yeah, just make sure it doesn't break.
Yeah, that's the trouble with cooking with, especially a high protein yogurt.
For sure.
At KatieK425, Frito bean dip is the Texan version of hummus. Also, love you guys. Oh, Katie, we love you too. I'd agree with this, although there's some contention about the etymology of hummus and how you can apply it to certain things. Because like, hummus is literally the Arabic word for chickpea.
Can you just say hummus?
Hummus. Why?
Okay.
I'm saying it properly. Well, no, it's weird to say like hummus is the word, you know? Anyways, fine. Hummus. That's how it's pronounced. Not whatever. Neither here nor there. Hummus is the Arabic word chickpea. And so like, is anything made, you know, with a different bean considered hummus? You go to places that have like edamame hummus.
Oh my gosh. We should talk about that on the Piggity podcast.
We should.
Next week, Ryan.
What's in a name? I'm fascinated by that. But I agree that if you're talking about the most Texan version of hummus, Frito bean dip, is one, delicious, and two, you are spot on.
Yes, I agree with this, Katie. Katie, you're so smart.
Nicole, how do you eat your hummus? Because there's two thoughts. There's like, do you pinch and scoop or do you swipe?
I pinch and scoop.
Really?
Yeah, but also I buy Sabra, so like, what do I know?
Yeah, that's fair. I'm a big hummus swiper. Oh my God.
Swipe, so you just like...
Yeah, you kind of like dab the pita or the lavash or whatever around the corner and you just like drag it around, especially if there's some like warm olive oil on top.
No, I like take the bread in between my thumb and my index finger and I just pinch. First, I take a little pinch and then I open the pinch and then I put stuff in it and then I eat it.
Oh, God, I'm hungry is what I'm finding out.
It's called the lohme. Okay. Nicole Kirsten, oh, great first name. Eating mashed potatoes with my fingies is more enjoyable than any utensil. She said fingies. Boo, she said fingies, bro. Okay.
I eat everything with my fingies.
Yeah, I think I saw you the other day eating Zanku chicken and you were like knuckles deep in that chicken thigh, and I'm just like,
I wasn't only knuckles deep in that chicken thigh. I was going knuckles deep. You go to the second knuckle, and then you extract as much meat as you want, and then you dip your whole hand in the hummus. And then you dip that into the tabbouleh. And then
there's
you eat it.
In the tabbouleh.
I don't know. You dip it all. You go knuckles deep in the chicken, knuckles deep in the hummus, fingernails deep in the tabbouleh, and then you got a perfect bite and you can suck it off your fingers.
You were literally sitting right over there, and then Chris was right next to you, and then you were just doing this like weird like finger dance.
Yeah. No utensils needed.
And I was just like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah,
but you were having such a good time, I didn't want to bother you.
Food to me is deeply personal and emotionally intimate. I want to eat it how I want to eat it. If I'm eating mashed potatoes with my hands, with my fingies, that's what I want to do. Nicole, I support you.
Kirsten.
Kirsten, not you. I don't support you. Yeah. You're mean.
Okay. Sensitive.
At @Brie_craft, ketchup does not belong on sandwiches.
This is low-key a really good one.
This is low-key a really good one, because then what do you consider a sandwich? I know where my politics lie on this. I've made that decision a long time ago. I did my soul searching. I have decided that both hot dogs and hamburgers are sandwiches. I obviously believe ketchup belongs on both of those. But if someone's like, I've put ketchup on a ham sandwich before, it don't taste right. Mm. And I love ketchup and I love ham sandwiches, but it don't taste right.
No, you know what you got to do? You don't put it on the sandwich. You just make a little like corner, you know, just a little. And you just, if you want to, you can like slightly dip your bread in it. If you really want to.
Yeah, something.
Really, that's it.
We were eating pizza in the office the other day, and it was just like a frozen pizza, which is an every day. We have so much pizza. But we didn't have any ranch dressing, and we only had a little bit of that creamy Whataburger sauce that I like putting on the pizza.
Disgusting.
But I wanted something to dip my crust in, and so I just made a little a ketchup in the corner of my plate. And I started dipping pizza crust in ketchup. And turns out that's the thing I enjoy.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, so I would absolutely dip, say, the corner of like a Subway sandwich if I'm not eating it for the taste. Yeah, it's okay in ketchup.
A tuna melt?
Tuna
with a little
ketchup. Yeah, a little hot tuna melt, a little on there. Oh, yeah, I'm into that.
This is the best part of the podcast. Jenny Moonchild says, homemade General Tso's cooked with chorizo, peppers, and onions will change your life. No, it won't, Jenny Moonchild. Who's putting chorizo in my General Tso's? If you're doing that, I'm calling the police.
Are you kidding? If you're doing that, I'm going to go to your food truck, assuming this is 2009 in L.A. That's the exact time that all this food was coming out.
Yeah, I can't. I don't like this.
I'm into it. I mean, do I think all the spice combinations would really work?
Conflicting flavors, man. I can't.
Well, one reason I think people gravitated so hard to this, you know, quote unquote, Asian-Mexican fusion that's going around, which like Roy Choi is a fantastic chef 100%. And all his food is incredible and balanced and well thought out.
We love him.
But we love him. We stan a Roy Choi.
Yeah.
But then so many of his imitators started, you know, advertising Korean barbecue tacos. And there was a place right by UCLA. They used to be called Buck Fitties, but now it's called Tommy Taco. And they advertised a Korean barbecue taco. It was literally their carne asada with their teriyaki bowl sauce on it. And that was it. And so people realized that just Americans like sweet things.
Yes.
And so if you can put sugary things in a taco with like some spicy, then people are going to eat it. Josh, I was so mad when I found that out.
Josh, have you ever been to Gucci in Westwood?
Gucci in Westwood was my like number one hangover meal, because I would buy the sundubu jjigae, right? The pork and tofu stew, and I'd get a large, and it was just sold in a big gulp cup.
Yeah.
They just give you a 40-ounce styrofoam cup with the lid on it that you could put a straw in.
Wow.
In theory, you could drink this tofu stew with a straw if you wanted to. I love Gucci in Westwood.
Me and my boyfriend went on Saturday.
Really? Yeah. What'd you get?
I just got the what is it? Oh my gosh. The galbi?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the galbi?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he got a short rib / galbi plate.
And they have the vinegar that you can just like put on your rice.
Everything about that place is just the bomb.
$12 you eat for days.
Yeah, some guy drove his car off of the curb and he was stuck there for like 40 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
Crazy. At Spaceman Kermit, Canadian bacon left over from making the best pizza combo ever? No prob. Just add some to wheat bread, Tillamook sharp cheddar, mayo on one side, raspberry jam. What is this person saying? They're saying that a sandwich made with Canadian bacon, cheddar, mayonnaise, and raspberry jam. I'm into that. I love a little schmear. It's kind of Monte Cristo-esque.
But why are they putting mayo? When they say one side, I always think it's like, you know what I mean? Like one side of the sandwich.
Like half, like a pizza half, you'd split up. Half
toppings. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's how I think. So I don't know. I'm confused. I need
You're
adult.
Thinking like a rainbow striping of mayonnaise and raspberry jam.
Oh, okay, okay. See, because I was thinking, you know what I was thinking, right?
No.
Yeah, you do. But it's like, I thought it was just like someone making a sandwich, okay?
Yeah.
And like, this is all mayonnaise and this is all raspberry. And they eat and it's all mayonnaise.
Yes, no, I think this person is implying that they combine the whole thing, because sandwiches typically have two slices of bread, which, whoa, we're getting into another philosophical discussion there. I think they're implying they put mayonnaise on one side and raspberry jam on the other.
Long story short, no.
I'm into it. Again, mayonnaise and jam, great combo. Underrated.
Tay-Tay Bingham says, is coleslaw a salad? Husband says yes. I say no. What do y'all think? Josh, what do y'all think?
Yeah, at least two times a week I just eat coleslaw for dinner. You think this is a joke, but no, I eat about two heads of cabbage a week and I will just slice it up very thin, add some meats on top, and I call that just coleslaw dinner. any questions?
Coleslaw is definitely a salad. I don't know. What else would coleslaw be? Is slaw not a salad?
I guess they're saying like, oh, this is like a side. It's not meant to be a main salad. But no, expand your salad horizons.
Yeah, like a coleslaw is pure salad.
Also, quarantine times, cabbage is keeping the fridge for like months, dude. That's why I got about six heads of cabbage in my fridge right now.
I believe that 1,000,000%.
Smells weird in my apartment.
Yeah, when does it not?
For a multitude of reasons.
Yep.
And on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. We've got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at MythicalChef or @Nhendizadeh with the hashtag OpinionCasserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube. We launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
We'll see you next time.
Me and Josh are going to fight like chickens. Pew, pew, pew.